is a happy, happy day. And you celebrate with the choir this morning as we sing. We're going to sing one more time. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Hymn number 438.
Good this morning? Yeah, you can clap for them. They deserve it. They did good. Vonda did good. Good this morning. What'd you think of Tamara? She did all right, didn't she? I'd sure like to have a pup out of her. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Yeah, nobody ever called me a quitter. I'll keep beating that drum. See what happens. Well, I have been in Fort Worth, Texas for the last few days, and I think I got most of that stench off of me. For all you Texas fans, I don't know what you see in that place. It was hot. It was 83 degrees at 7 o'clock in the evening one night. Bill, I don't know why you go down there. I really don't. I don't see it. But we got to see Brandon graduate. For those of you that don't know, if you see a picture of him on Facebook, he's going to be wearing a black Stetson cowboy hat. And that is because since Paige Patterson has been the president of Southwestern. The faculty, once you go on faculty, that is the official designation that you're on faculty. So when they graduate, they wear their hat because it lets everyone know that they are a faculty member. And it was wonderful to be there. They treated Shelly and I like we were somebody. We got to sit right in the front row, and he walked right by me to get online. To my left was my longtime friend, Dr. Paul Stutz, who was helping them get started. And then Bruce McCoy, Dr. McCoy was there, assistant to the president. He was my childhood friend. And so had a wonderful time of getting acquainted with everybody. And Phyllis, of course, his wife, his mother was there. And then Alicia and his two boys, Aiden, who shares a birthday with me, and Austin, who is going to be about three times the size of Brandon if he continues to eat like he is now. And he's a big boy. And he's as big as his brother is, and they're 15 months apart, I think. So we had a wonderful, wonderful time. Next Saturday, right here at our church, 10 to 12, Shelly and I are hosting a reception for Brandon. Lots of friends from Nelsonville will be down in California area, and of course, all of our church is invited. It's a come-and-go reception, so you can come. It's casual, so you can don't have to get dressed up to come. We'd love to see you. And he is very, very proud of Union Hill. As a matter of fact, in his bio, we are mentioned there as the place where God grew him right after he became a Christian. That place he was baptized considers this his home church. So very, very proud of Brandon and all of those that graduated. He graduated with a PhD in evangelism. So he is Dr. Kiesling now, and that'll take a little getting used to, but we'll get used to that. I think everybody that hasn't earned doctorate deserves to be called doctor. So even by old preachers like me. So you congratulate him when you see him. All right, Brother LP took care of Matthew chapter 6, the early verses. I really wanted to be here for the message on fasting. But I figured it was only appropriate we let the skinny one do it. So I hope he got you all caught up on where we're supposed to be. The attitude and the spirit, remember, the Sermon on the Mount is for us as believers to know how to reach into the world. So everything that we do, whether it's fasting, tithing, praying, no matter what it is designed so that others will see our dedicated, devoted love to the Savior, right? That's why we do what we do. If you tithe today because somebody told you you're supposed to, while that's obedient, that's not the heart that the Holy Spirit wants you to have. The heart that He wants you to have is, I serve because it makes me happy, because there's joy within my heart. Dr. Paige Patterson looked out at those graduates, which was a master's program and doctorate program, and he said to them, if you're sitting here thinking, I've got my doctorate now, I've got my master's now, the life's going to be good, and you're thinking about money or wealth, you're in ministry. Quit thinking about that, because it's not going to do you any good. That's not why you're doing it. He gave a wonderful charge on why we as God's people do what we do. And we do it for the service and the dedication and the love of our Savior. Today, the bottom motivation, Jesus said, for everything that we do should be that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Today, I hope you love Him. I hope you're here today because you want to serve Him. Now, let me just say this. If you're new in your walk in Christ and you don't have that devoted love and you think, Brother Frank, I can't just conjure that up. That's right, you cannot. What you do is you just simply walk with Him every day of your life. Trust Him, believe Him, depend upon His Word. Do the things that He commands you to do, and before long, like anything else, you'll fall in love with Him. And you will recognize all the things that He does for you. I took Boomer. You all know who Boomer is, my old ugly brown dog. One of these days I'll bring him to a picnic or something and you can meet him. You'll never forget it, I promise you. Or get the stains out of your clothes. But, you know, old Boomer, I took him to the vet not too long ago, and they did all kinds of things to him, nothing real elaborate, and only one that he really didn't like. And When I got in the truck with him, I looked at him, and I said, I patted him on the head, and I said, "Man, I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope that does you some good, because we're never doing that again." $243 I paid for heartworm, tick and flea medicine, a shot, and I don't know, they drew his blood, and I said, "You ain't worth it. I ain't giving $243 for some dumb old dog to eat and slobber on me." You know, we value the things that we value sometimes for no real good reason. We just like them, you know? We just like them. Sometimes I hear people that put peanut butter on their pancakes. And I say, why in the world would you do that? First of all, you ruin pancakes. Second of all, you ruin peanut butter. Why would you do that? And they all give me the same answer. Oh, I like it. Yeah, there's no good reason to do it. They just do it because they like it. And friends, today we as Christians, when we sang that first song this morning, "Love Lifted Me," it didn't look like it was working. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin. That part you got. Man, we didn't look like it was lifting us. Now, I know it's early. I know all those things. And I do that same thing. But isn't it funny that we should get excited and have joy in the heart that Christ has gave for us? He's redeemed us. He's made us whole. Man, anything else in the world can go wrong. But friends, I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about the rest of it. I don't have to worry about what happens in this physical life, because there is laid up for me a place of in righteousness, where I can enjoy the joys and the promise of God. What a joy it is to serve Christ. And Jesus is trying to convey to those people who have said, "We're going to be disciples of yours. We're going to follow you." He is attempting to encourage them to live the life in joy. You ought to give your tithe in joy. You ought to come to Sunday school in joy. You ought to come to church in joy. You ought to do all the things that we do in joy. It should be our target. It should be our motivation. Now, I'm just like you. There are things in church that I don't like to do. They don't bring me much joy. But God called me to do them. And so you have to do them. And you have to try to find a place of joy. If not, just say, "Lord, I'm being obedient to you. And, you know, Brother Frank's out of town today. LP's preaching. I need to go." Good to be home. Nice to be back. And those things, Sunday school, prayer meeting, song service. I can't imagine anybody not liking the song service, but, you know, I love to sing. But I knew a guy one time named Dave, and he hated the song service. He came after the song service. It wasn't a style of music. He just didn't like singing. His wife played the piano, by the way, at our church. He was a miserable sort at home, I imagine. Man, you got to try to strive to find the things that you enjoy. I hear so many young preachers say to me when I say to them, they say, "Man, I'm connecting with the young folks, but I get connected with the old folks." I ask them, "Well, do you visit the old folks? You go see them?" "No." "Well, that's dumb. They have pie." Old people have pie, and they like pie. Let me just do a little survey here, LP. You take a note. This is a ministry lesson for you. How many of you don't like pie? Don't like it, don't want it, don't have it. There you go. Look at that. You, of course. Why? Tamara had her hand up. Same one who hates children. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I say to them, "How can you not like pie? Man, they give you pie, they give you ice cream, they want to get you tea, can I get you coffee? Pastor here, sit in my recliner." When I go to Don's house, he always offers me his recliner. "Here, Brother Frank, sit here." And I know he doesn't want me to, he just says that. Kay told him, "Now, when he gets here, you make sure you offer him that recliner." Sure, they're good to us. And they said, "Well, I've sometimes visited one, but I don't go to the nursing homes." Really? We're back to pie. You don't like pie? They have pie in nursing homes. All you have to do is say, "Hey, I want to visit my good buddy Don Forbes here, who's in the nursing home. He's very decrepit and old. And we'd like to have a piece of pie and a couple glasses of iced tea." You know what they do in every single nursing home? They bring you pie and ice cream, or tea. Bring you ice cream, too, if you ask for it. I'm telling you, sometimes the things we negate, the things we push away, are the very things that would bring joy to us. And I tell them, young preachers, listen to me. Do you know the young people don't have the money? They don't have any money. Just ask one of them. Better yet, ask their parents in the first service. They'll tell you they don't have any money. And what they have, some of it's mine. Right? And I tell them, you're crazy. You want those people in your church for lots of reasons. Just not because they feed you and they got the money, but because they've lived this life a long time. They have walked with Him and talked with Him, and they understand the value of living their lives for Jesus. Today, if you're here and you don't know that, you listen up. Jesus, in the 19th verse of chapter 6 of Matthew, says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." What does that mean? Well, it means don't put your sights on laying up treasures here. Don't let that be your focus. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with being rich. If you're rich today, you have lots of money, God bless you. I wish we'd get a whole bunch of rich people in church. Amen? Sure. But that's not what it's talking about. It says the motivation. What is the motivation of your heart? It's not to become powerful and wealthy or prestigious or well-known or influential, but your purpose needs to be of a greater cause. Not just to be wealthy. I'm not talking about not doing the best you can either. I think y'all do the best you can. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon this earth, because the treasures of this earth have a problem. Number one, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He says, man, there's some things that can happen to your treasures in this life. What does a moth do? Well, he destroys from the outside in. Moth gets in your clothes and eats a hole in it, and he'll always eat it in the worst spot. You never ever notice that a moth never chews a hole under the arm? Always right here for me, or in the back. Same place the stains appear. You know, I never have a stain over here on this side. I don't know why that is. Sure, they eat from the outside in. Folks, listen, if we lay up treasures in this life, they're going to be eaten from the outside in. Somebody's going to try to do better than you, outdo you, show that your accomplishment wasn't that great. Have you ever sat around with people who watch something on TV and they say, oh, that's not so hard, I think I could do that. I watch a girl's softball. I love girl's softball. And occasionally I'll watch and be at Applebee's or somewhere, and I'll say to somebody, man, it just seems amazing. And almost on cue, they will say, you know, I pitched like that one time. And I said, no, you didn't. You windmilled your arm, all right, but you didn't throw that ball like that, believe me. That girl weighs about a 115, and she's throwing the ball 70 miles an hour. You know, you and I'd have to take a run and start and shoot it out of a gun to get it up to that speed. Amazing. As a matter of fact, some of you remember a name called Roger Bannister. I'm in the right class to do this, right? Remember who Roger Bannister was? All of history until 1954, the human had tried to run the 4-minute mile. Roger Bannister in Oxford University in 1954 ran the 4-minute mile. They thought it was the undoable feat. He did it 2 months later. Him and another guy did it together. And it has been broken time and time again. Do you know there are high school students who run the 4-minute mile? And for all of history, it had been unattainable. It was phenomenal when it was accomplished. And now today, if you don't run a 4-minute mile, an Olympic sprinter in the mile, they're not sure you can make it. They're not sure you're going to make the cut in the field. I'm telling you, it's a standard by which they shoot for. If you make the 4-minute mile, then you might have a chance. depending on the conditions and what kind of day you have. Moth began to eat away at Roger Bannister. When I was a kid growing up, everybody knew who Roger Bannister was. Gene, did you know who Roger Bannister was? Doug, did you know who? See, us old guys, we know that. Today, you could ask those kids, and they would look at you and say, "Isn't that Spider-Man?" Just make you want to smack them. I remember the day that my son asked me who Mickey Mantle was. I stopped the car and made him get out. Get out of the car. You don't get to ride anymore. Yeah, moth corrupts and destroys. One day, today, I'm loved in this church. Last week, I was loved in the church I was in. And I hugged their pastor, and I told him, "Jonathan, don't worry. One of these days, I'll die. And you'll be done with me." You won't have, and really, I wasn't that great. Believe me, if some of those people that were there then would come back, like Claude Day and Brother Haney, they would say, "You're right, he wasn't that great." I'm telling you, he was a pain. We forget. And that which is on the outside can begin to destroy the accomplishments in this world. Even the wealthy leave it all behind. Reminded when they ask, "How much did he leave?" Well, he left it all. He left everything. Didn't you take anything with him, because all of his treasures was here on this earth. Friends, when you walk by my casket, don't you say that. You say he left the stuff that didn't matter behind. He took all the good stuff with him. Because the Bible says, don't lay your treasures up here where the outside world can whittle away and destroy and eat away at it. Difficulties can come. Those treasures laid up in heaven, they're eternal. They never change. Nothing is going to eat away at them. Nothing's going to corrupt them. Nothing is going to make them less than what they are. Rust, it gets old and decays away. Rust on a 57 Chevrolet today, sitting in a field, it's just an old rusty car. But back in the day when it came out two-toned, two-door, without the post, you remember? Young people today don't even know what the post is, you know what? They don't realize what a post is. Why, that was the most beautiful beast rolling. But it's lost its glamour because it got old and rusty and heavy, and it's not attractive anymore. It's not even the body style that they love anymore. And so the rust hath taken it over, and if we're not careful, we'll get old and we'll wither away. But the one thing about God's work is, when we invest in Him, it's eternal. Rust can't get to it. I'm telling you, the Brandons, the Roberts, the LPs in this world, rust ain't going to get to them, because you see, they're going to invest in somebody else, and they're going to invest in somebody else, and they're going to invest in somebody else, and the work of God will continue on and on and on and on. But when I lay up treasures in heaven, lots of money, lots of possessions, man, you see those fortunes just simply go away. When I was a kid growing up, everyone knew the name Rockefeller. Today we know it mostly historically. Now they're still a very wealthy family, but never mentioned among the wealthiest in the world any longer. You see, rust, they've gotten old and decayed away. They said Ted Williams would never be touched in his batting average. They said Roger Maris, no one would ever hit 61 home runs ever again. They said no one would steal more bases. They said no one would lift as much, throw as far, run as fast, jump as high. And yet, year after year, we see those things changing, because there's always someone else, something else, to take the light away. Can be stolen from you, taken from you. All the records that fall and those things that are said in this life, they're stolen away by some young guy who comes along. Shelley and I was at the St. Louis Cardinals ball game on the night that Mark McGwire hit the 61st home run in his career, 62nd actually. I wanted to be there for that one. because I didn't know how many more there'd be, but I knew that one was going to be the milestone. And we bought a ticket. A friend of ours had bought us tickets in October, not even knowing, bought them in June, not even knowing that the Cardinals would make it. He paid $8 for the ticket that I have. Still have the stub. The ball went right under our feet, which means we were way out in left field, right? That's right. And my wife was sitting next to me, the most historic day in all of baseball history for me, and she's sitting next to me with some dime store novel. And the history-making ball of all times comes right beneath our feet. And she looks up. You couldn't hear it. You couldn't hear yourself think in that place. And I'll never forget it. She turns to me and said, "What happened?" Man, I'm telling you, there are events in our lives that are huge, but they're not going to count for anything in the life to come. Folks, when I get to see Jesus, I'm not going to grab him by the hand and say, "Man, I saw Billy Graham. Man, I was at the game that Roger Maris's record fell." That's not what I'm going to say to him. I'm going to fall on my face before him and with gold dust in my mouth spit out to him, "Jesus, I love you. Thank you for what you did for me." For you see, that's what the moth can't get to, rust can't get to, no one can steal from me, is that day when all that I have done for the glory of God and the honor of God and the choice of God, all that we have chosen to do to honor him in our lives, no matter how significant, no matter how small, that's when he's going to look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Paul says there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, not just me, but for all, for any who have believed. Oh, friends, today, what a joy it is to serve a Savior who never forgets, who doesn't let anything corrupt, and lets no one steal it from you. Man, just think about it. Oh, Noah's still being praised today as he was the day he died for being faithful to God. It has not diminished in God's sight, but it is just as important today as it was then. Every martyr, every single person who died at the hand of another man for the purpose of the kingdom of God is still honored today as if it was today. Dr. Patterson looked at some missionary students, I understand, this last week as they were graduating, and they received their master's and doctorate in missions. And he said to them, "We're building a new mission house, evangelism building." Brandon's office is going to be there. He explained to us that that was for him. He was building it for him. And it's going to be beautiful. Going to have Lottie Moon's, lady. It's going to have Lottie Moon's original home in China, the home in it. Not a replica. They've gone and got it. They're bringing it back, and they're putting it in the building, in this mission and evangelism building. And he said to them, "There's going to be 9 of you. Of however many graduate, I don't remember, 20-some. He said, "Out in front of the missions building, we have these stones of people who have served in the evangelism department. Brandon showed me 2 things. He showed me his brick with his name on it. He said, 'Brother Frank, I've already got my brick in. I'm already here.' And the other thing he's told me, he said, they have my name over 50 times on this campus. He said, I'm so honored. It was the brand of the light standard. It said Brandon on the bottom of it." And I said, "You're going to make a good preacher, you know it? Because you are full of it." Yeah. Dr. Patterson told them. He said, "We're laying all those bricks out there for those who gave their lives. Some of them will be a special brick. There'll be a white brick. And those are people who died in the service to the kingdom's work through the cooperative program." He said, we bought nine bricks for your class because we predict 9 of you will give life for the kingdom's work. Laying not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, let's finish it here. That's the introduction. You're doing good. Verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust, where thieves don't break in or steal. For where your treasure is, listen, there your heart will be also. If you show me your bank account and your cell phone, I can tell you what you love. Right? Because the things we love, we spend money on and time with. Right? Think about it. When you go to lunch, you go with somebody you like or somebody you don't like. Well, no, you call up your friend and you say, hey, Doug, I like you. Let's go to lunch. You say, great. You call up those that you don't like and say, hey, Bill, I can't stand you. Let's go to lunch. Right? No, sir. You spend your money and your time with things that you love. And so Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's where your love is. What have you invested your life in? What have you poured into? And today, church, it's a good question to ask. What have we invested our lives in the kingdom's work? Boy, for me, that's a telling question because I remember the day that I gave my heart and life to the ministry. And I remember exactly what was in my heart. I remember exactly what the picture of my life was. And today, it reminds us that we're not done, we're not finished. There's still time ahead. The lamp of the body is the eye. How do you see it? How do I behold it? If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon both. I wonder today, the message today is, what do I have my eye focused on? When I was a boy growing up learning to play baseball, they told me the greatest thing you need to do is watch the ball. Forget everything else. Just watch the ball. Even someone that has poor fundamentals can hit the ball if they watch the ball. I watched Aiden yesterday. He was playing with a balloon and he was popping it in the air. He has tremendous eye-hand coordination. Very, very good for a child his age. I was amazed. He watched the ball, the balloon in his case. When I played golf, they said to me, hey, you know the best thing you can do in golf? Watch the ball. Don't take your head off the ball. I get tired of hearing Gene say that to me. I hit one off and to the right and he'll say, you need to keep your head down. Watch the ball. I did watch it. I watched it go into the woods, right? Yeah. When I learned to play ping pong in college, the guy that taught me said, hey, the best thing you need to do is watch the ball. You got to watch the ball. You got to watch the ball. Friends, today our eye directs us to where we're going. Got your eye on the ball? Got your eye on retirement? I kind of do right now. Trying to figure out how to save my money, do the best, so that I can keep Shelley in the luxurious lifestyle she's used to, right? I don't want her to have to start running the vacuum and doing those things. I want to keep those all. Sure, we've got our eyes focused on where we are in life. What do you have your eyes focused on? For if your eye is healthy and you're looking for the things you ought to be looking for, then you're going to have great light. You're going to have great hope. My friends, as I wind down to retirement, I'm not winding down to not preach. I hope to preach more in retirement than I am now. Think, well, Brother Frank, you're preaching once a week. I know, it's terrible. I should be doing more, right? Sure, I want to preach more. I want to speak more. I want to minister more. I'm thinking of not pastoring one church, but pastoring two or three. Get some small churches and bring them together in local areas. Get them convinced to pool their resources. They're dead and dying. Maybe they can come together, pool their resources, decide they like one another, and begin to do something significant for the kingdom of God. Man, I tell you, we've got to change the focus of our eyes. What do I see? Parents, we see our kids, and as they grow, we've got to have a healthy look at the world and realize there's some places we just have to say no. Some places we say, I know other kids are doing it, but nah, you can't do it. The answer's no. When you get big, you can do it. You can decide to be disobedient and not have children. That's fine when you get big. But when you're young, you're going to learn, go forth and multiply. He said it three times. I mean, we can only raise them, encourage them, and teach them, but there comes a place where they have to be able to see in mom and dad that love and that commitment, that it's more than just vocal. The man, it's in the heart. It's here because I mean it. It's here because it's important to me. Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures where something else can get to it. Lay up for it treasures in heaven. I pick on Shelley a lot in publicly, and you all say to me, it's a wonder, Brother Frank, that she hasn't killed you. Some of you said it this morning right over here when I was first talking about her, and she was up in the choir and couldn't hear me. And I told them, I said, I'm 61. I say those things when she's not here. You know, that's how I made it this far. But the truth of the matter is, the one thing that Shelley has taught me throughout my life is you don't have to get credit for what you do. You can do it, nobody has to know it. That's a gentle way of telling me you can keep your big mouth shut. You don't have to give a speech about it. You don't have to talk about it. You can just do it and nobody know it. And I'm telling you, she has taught me great lessons in how God honors what we do, not the acknowledgement of my effort. That's what Jesus meant when he said, don't do your alms before men. Do them before your Father in heaven. For he who sees in secret will bless you publicly. Today you may think, man, Brother Frank, I don't know anybody knows my accomplishments. Oh, the most important one knows your accomplishments. The very one that matters knows your accomplishment. Children's Sunday school teacher, RA, GA, Mission Friends leader, Vacation Bible School worker, person who runs the scoreboard at the basketball games, whoever you are, whatever you do, trust me, he sees what you're doing. And it matters in the kingdom's world. And you are going to be honored and blessed because of it. Several times this weekend, I introduced myself as Brandon's friend. Introduced myself as his pastor friend. Introduced myself as his pastor. None of that would do. He wanted to introduce me as the guy who baptized him and helped him grow in his walk early. And then he called me his mentor. Man, I'm telling you, you know what Brandon Kiesling is to me? He's my friend. He's my friend. But you see, to him, I'm more than just a friend. And friends, today, to these children that we're teaching, children that Vonda's teaching to sing, the children that we're teaching in our Sunday school classes, the children that we gather in, the men and women all across this community, they see us as far more whenever we do what we do for the blessing of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, don't lay the treasures up where you'll be patted on the back. We all like that. I mean, I tell you, that feels good, doesn't it? But you see, the motive has to be, Lord, I want to honor you. In that final day, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're here today and you don't know him, you've never accepted him, you've never trusted him as Savior and Lord, I want to encourage you to do that today. I'm telling you, I don't care what background you come out of, I don't care what you're doing today in your life, you need a Savior. We all need a Savior today. And Jesus came that whosoever will may come. All we have to do is confess our life in him, ask forgiveness of our sin, and ask him to come into our heart and begin to walk with him every day. And he'll begin to change our lives, transform us, the Word of God says, into a new creature. This morning you may be here and you may have done that and you may have slipped away from that. You may have fallen away and you say, man, Brother Frank, I want to get back to that. I don't care who knows it. I don't need any accolades. I don't need any of that. I just want to live for God as I ought to live. Then friends, all you have to do is confess that to him and begin to walk that away. Begin to do those things. Begin to honor him in the way you live, how you talk, what you say, where you go, what you do. and God will transform your life. Reconcile your life to the place that you can be God-honoring in his life. So this morning, we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to invite you to come. And if you'd like to make that decision, you can welcome to use the altar, welcome to sit in these front pews, whatever God leads you to do. Maybe you want to talk to LP, you want to pray with him, you want to pray with me, that's fine. Maybe you want to stay right where you are, that's fine. Whatever God leads you to do this morning, lay your treasures up, not in this life, but lay your treasures up in heaven. They won't rust, the moth won't get them, and they won't grow old. They will be as significant the day you get there as they are the day you did them. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the many blessings you give to us. And Lord, I just pray for each one that's here today. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would move among us. Oh God, forgive us for our sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me, Lord, for the times that I had opportunity to live for Jesus and I failed to live for Jesus. Lord, I pray today that the word will resound from this place in our community, in our lives, in our jobs, in our friendships, in our social life. Lord, that all that we do and say may be God-honoring, may glorify the kingdom. For Lord, we desire not just treasures in heaven, but Father, we desire to please the one we love. Lord, how we love you today. And we thank you for your great love for us. Father, forgive us of our sin and bring us to a place that you can use us for your kingdom's work. For Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we love you and we desire to draw closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me? Stand with me.